what you need to know for every game to make your best bets. Will you fade or will you follow? Welcome to the Weekly Wager. Broadcasting live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios in Milwaukee, alongside Josh DiMaggio, here's Ben Brust.
It is the Weekly Wager on 94.5 ESPN and, of course, as always, on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. My name is Ben Brust. Alongside me is Josh DiMaggio.
Josh
DiMaggio. I'd like to take a moment to just say, everyone listening right now, I hope you're feeling this. This feels like a really good reset day.
Yeah.
We've got the Cubs series in the NLDS went to five. Saturday was Anxiety City.
Dump your bucket type of day.
Game five. Then, like, the Packers play.
Uh-huh.
And then you go right into game one and game two.
Uh-huh.
And then we're right into three straight games, into a Sunday Packer game, into hopefully Monday and Tuesday.
Yes.
So I would like you to know that this is your last breath until we talk to you, hopefully, next Wednesday. As you can always get us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Yeah, Joshy, what I'll say is going to be no different than anyone else right now. There's a frustration around what we've seen through two games. You obviously give flowers to Blake Snell and Yamamoto, but yes. I will continue to say this. Despite the great pitching that there was, it has been a different mentality in a Brewers team that I'm looking at standing over the plate. And for the first time, I think you had tweeted, you feel daunted.
Yeah.
I think you felt daunted because the team was giving you a reason to feel daunted.
Yeah, I did, because it felt like every at-bat the past 2 days, except for Jackson's home run, felt like a futile exercise in nothingness. It felt like before the at-bat started, it was over. And you saw the direction they were going. The chase rate for the Badgers is... The Badgers, holy cow.
The chase rate is chasing people down the field and on the football field. But the chase rate for the Brewers...
Yes, the chase rate for the Brewers is way up. Pat Murphy said it himself. It's out of character for what this team has been all year. They've looked hapless. They've looked lost. They've looked confused. And we were both at the game, and the crowd was trying to get in it and be engaged.
Dude, there was just nothing.
There was just nothing. The most cheering that happened was when there was a runner in scoring position and our pitching was trying to get out of a jam.
I've said this way too much over the last 2 days, especially with game one. Did we do a watch party together game one, Joshy?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, this all blends together whole last week. It felt like
we
were at bat, and then next thing you know, I was like, all right, let's get the Uke bobblehead out for something special for a jam.
Yeah.
It's like it's been so frustrating as a fan, because all year long, they just, like the Caleb Durbin quote, if you're going to play against the Milwaukee Brewers, you have to be ready to go to war and battle for nine innings.
Yep.
The Christian Yelich, you know, this team is so great because you don't have to put the team on your back. Somebody else will step up. Well, enough with the quotes now. I need to see it, because this is the NLCS. Like, you didn't, and like, I think that's what's most frustrating as well, is they didn't accidentally get to the NLCS.
No.
And it's one of those things where game three, it's another good to great pitcher. I know I cautioned people of saying Yamamoto can't do what Snell did, even though in my heart of hearts I was like, they've gotten to Yamamoto, he can't do this, and he did.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna make the same mistake, and I'm not gonna be like, well, they can definitely get to glass now. I'm not gonna say that until they prove to me that they're gonna have the discipline that they've had. And with that, anything you can add before we talk about what this series looks like from a Pottawatomie Sportsbook perspective? Because there's some intriguing options as we're sitting here, Josh, and right before we went on the show, it was a SportsCenter, looked like a top 10-ish almost, but they were going through like comebacks of teams down 2-0. Red Sox in 2007 or 4 with Pedro.
2004.
Four it was. And there was another one I'm seeing up there. So It's hard because in the 2-3-2 format, 24 out of 27 times the team that's won the road the first two road games have won the series. So you're looking at an 89% clip that the Brewers are going against right now from past history and from not a great start to make us feel confident, but it's not over.
Yeah, my overarching thoughts before we move on to kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty on what the odds look like for the remainder of the series is I don't want to discredit just how good the Dodgers have been to this point while also saying the Brewers have not looked like themselves. And inside of that, I'm also saying Blake Snell fully on his own made the Brewer. He wasn't missing a pitch.
No. Yamamoto, you at least had a couple hard hits.
Yamamoto,
the outfield.
Yes, there was opportunities there. He was good.
Yeah.
You don't pitch in a complete
game. Snell didn't miss
a
damn spot.
Yes. So there is a degree of they ran into two guys who pitched very, very well, but they're also compounding that factor by chasing, by looking lost, by not being able to string things together, by not working counts, by not getting to that bullpen. Like, before game one, everyone knew.
Yeah.
Get through the starters, get to that bullpen, and things can get crazy. Well, we've seen 17 innings out of the 18 go to starting pitchers. That is not getting to the bullpen.
History's been made. Eight innings that Snell faced the minimum was the first time since, I think, 1954, when someone actually went a perfect game.
Don Larson.
And then you had, since 2017, the playoffs, when Verlander did it in 2017, going a complete game. And what's also crazy is we know that this is not even 2017's baseball.
Right.
2017's baseball.
Well, just look on the Brewers' side. Look what they're doing at the pitching with the pitching staff.
It was even crazy in the wild card when you had Crochet doing it and Scooble doing it. But we know the Brewers don't. That was my biggest concern, if there was anything, was I felt confident and comfortable with five. In a seven game, I'm like, man, if you aren't able to get deep for your starters when the Brewers get too high leverage in the bullpen, and again, we saw it even yesterday with Obner, who's pitched 4 out of 5 days, come in and spot to try and keep it a ball game so you could have your bats have a chance. He didn't have the command, and Shohei, who's been struggling against a righty, popped one to right field for an RBI single. So, and now you're sitting in a spot where it's all hands on deck, and it's all hands on deck for the next while because you have three straight games after this off day and a long flight. So you couldn't draw it up any worse from a like timing 0-2 coming off the five game, losing the first two, and having to put even more pressure on yourself to get a win to extend this. It's just
let's be frank. You never want to be in a spot where you have to go on the road and win two or three, or you're dead.
Mm. And you've lost four of your last five games if you look at it in totality.
Yes.
So it's a little Debbie Downer. I get it. Like, you still have to believe in Pat Murphy and the team that he's put together to battle.
I'm not quitting.
No.
I'm just a little daunted.
Yeah. There's no quit, but we can admit it's frustrating and it sucks right now. The Brewers are around plus 165 on the money line. No starters listed for the Brewers. It's safe to assume that Tyler Glasnow is going to go for the Dodgers. I believe the last time they faced Glasnow, the Brewers won 2-0. Quinn Priester had 10 Ks, and it was part of that 6 games that they won against the Dodgers before and after the All-Star break. But if you put too much stock into that, you'd be lying to yourself because this is a completely different Dodgers team, healthy with all their bats and arms.
Yeah, I believe this is like the third time all season they've gone through their rotation as it is, and all their bats are back. Everyone besides Shohei's fared pretty well, which is interesting. You mentioned the one RBI, but I mean, he struck out 3 times yesterday, and he looked like the guy on our side, Christian Yelich, at times.
If you're looking at something to maybe, if you really, 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 really do believe, maybe like you saw the Milwaukee Bucks down 2-0 against the Nets and down 2-0 against the Suns. The difference between those two right now is you had Giannis, and there's no Giannis right now in the batting lineup that you can really rely on. The Brewers to win the series in 6 games. Brewers in 6 would be plus 2,000. So if you think they can roll 4 straight off, $10 wins to 200.
I mean, to be honest, Brewers to win 4-3,
yeah,
take it
seven
to
game
seven,
series and win plus 1,000.
It just, these numbers sort of just exemplify just the situation the Brewers are in and how tenuous their grasp on advancing to the World Series is right now. The Dodgers to sweep is only plus 150. That is pretty low given the stakes and given how good each of these teams are coming into this series. For the Dodgers to win four games to one, gentlemen sweep is only plus 200.
Yuck!
All the signs are pointing to this being not the best and not the not a favorable situation to be in. If there was a team you were going to pick to do it in 2025, it would be Pat Murphy's Milwaukee Brewers. I'm going to look to invest my hard-earned shekels elsewhere.
I was going to say, are you going to tell me something that I don't know?
No. Right now, the Brewers are plus 1,000 just to win the series flatly. The Dodgers, the series over 4.5 games is minus 195. The under 4.5 games, so a sweep is plus 150. As you said, plus 164. And the Brewers have the worst odds to win the World Series at plus 1,800.
Yeah, that was down to plus 500 and plus 450 at points towards that end of the regular season. And when you get down in a 2-0 hole against the big bad Dodgers, who are the defending World Series champions, this is what you're going to see from an odds perspective. Now, real quick, how do you see the Brewers go about this from a pitching standpoint? I know we obviously the bats are a thing, but like also the Dodgers bats are a thing that it could get it could get where you're chasing pretty fast here.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Quintana maybe get a start. And then in game four, maybe you go opener and let the Miz cook. I don't know if they feel comfortable with him starting.
You don't go Quintana and the Miz in game three?
I think if you feel that's the best with the arms you have and who's pitching the way they are. But what do you do in game four then?
Scrap it together. And then give it to Quinn or Freddie if Freddie can do it.
Yeah, it...
Freddie would have to be on four days to get to Saturday?
Yes. I don't know how you do. Maybe you try and throw Freddie again, even just say you're down 3-0.
I mean, it can be done. It's playoff baseball. But right. I hate this conversation. This is the Weekly Wager with Ben Brust and Josh DiMaggio, because the puzzle of all of this has gotten harder. It is possible, but it hasn't been enjoyable.
Yeah, it seems to me that both Quintana and the Miz are going to have to do extensive work to extend the series. Like, with where they are right now as we sit here, it's so incredibly unfavorable to them. And maybe you just trust the Miz, but you also, he's not so great at getting this. Like, you have to get there somehow.
Yeah, I do like this question, actually, from Jacob on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Is there no trust in Quintana? He's pitched one time. I've been fascinated by the lack of usage of Quintana, especially from the standpoint of when they were in Game 3, they still battled and made that a game and had a chance to win in Game 3, like they had a chance to win in Game 1 against the Dodgers. Quintana, after Quinn Priester, could not find the strike zone, could not find a strike. Quintana and the 12 batters he faced in his 3 innings in 9 outs, he had a couple walks and 1 hit, he threw 12 first pitch strikes.
Yeah.
That is what the Dodgers have been doing to us. And after I saw that, I was like, it's got to be Quintana in Game 5, and we didn't see that. And so I figured, you know, he'd be a bigger part of this strategy. So I'm of the belief that with what I saw, it makes sense to start Quintana and just say, hey, you're our guy. You got to try and keep this as tight as possible and go as long as you can.
Right.
And then that can help in game four if you need to start Ashby for the 18th million time and go to the Miz.
Yeah. That to me seems like the best situation. I could see them flip-flopping the order of that, but I have no confidence that Quintana's going to get the start in any of these games.
It's wild, because he was so reliable all year, and he was good in his outing against the Cubs that I'm a little fascinated by that.
It's sort of the situation to me where I guess, and this isn't me begrudgingly doing this, this is me, I just have to trust Murph and Chris Hook and the pitching staff with their decision to not use him how we think may be valuable, because I think we've reached and will continue to reach the we got to try anything kind of situation we're in here. So whatever they decide, I envision they have the numbers, the statistics, and the belief to support it. It just doesn't seem all that obvious to me as we sit here.
Well, we're going to continue on. We're going to get a little update on the Green Bay Packers, who sit 3-1-1 in the 2 seed if it all ended today, which is crazy to think about because there's some things
with how it felt.
Yeah, to fix up on the football side of things. And then we will get to a little, I would say, a Brewers Thursday night preview. I know we like to look at as many props as possible for Thursday night, but there's props on the Brewers, and we'll do our best to dig in and then get to our picks of the week here on the Weekly Wager. I do want to keep this a little more brief because I want to get back into Thursday's Game 3 out at Dodger Stadium, but this is the Weekly Wager with Ben Brust and Josh DiMaggio. We're with you till 7 o'clock, but we do have to address the fact that somehow the Packers are 3-1-1, and if the season ended today, they would have the 2 seed, which is honestly anything that everyone should be asking for, considering the last 2 seasons you've been a 7 seed, and that path is near impossible to go on the road and try and get to a Super Bowl unless you have a Hall of Fame-level quarterback, because I've, for the life of me, can't tell you the amount of times that people have said, well, we can just be a wild card team. Well, that happened in 2010 when the Packers did it. We've now reached 2025. The best path of least resistance is to have to play as least amount of games as possible. So you could try and get that 1 seed, because there's only one bye anymore in that super wild card weekend.
It's a good weekend, Ben.
It is. It's a fun weekend, but I would like to watch everyone else before they have to play the Green Bay Packers. Now, what is your biggest, not concern, but the thing that stands out most through 5 games?
The biggest thing that stands out has to be the defense. And the fact over the course of the past 2 games, it seems to be a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde situation where they look great in the first half, like they have, well, let's say the past 3 games they've played. In Cleveland, when they played the Cowboys, and then in Lambeau just this past weekend, where it seems to be, you know, the tale of 2 different halves where they're overwhelming. It's all dink and dunk. They can't really move the ball against the Packers defense. And then something happens when they come out of that break, and it's just a touchdown parade. And
a 10-minute, 17-play drive from the Bengals.
Yeah, and trying to diagnose what's changing, who's changing, how it's changing, and why it's changing to me has been confounding. And then the other main thing, if we wanted to get a little more granular, is where the hell is Rashawn Gary, Ben? We talked, he was leading the league in sacks with 4.5.
For 3 weeks, 4.5.
And then I don't know if he's what his pressure rate is. And let me tell you something. They haven't moved the double teams from Micah to Rashawn.
No.
They're probably double teaming him more because neither him nor Enagbare, LVN has gone in spurts.
Of course he gets hurt on his sack.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Of course. Uh-huh. Just so polite.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, I think in aggregate, and we can take together, like, you know, the sack numbers, but to me he's looked the best outside of Micah Parsons.
So from a defensive standpoint, obviously everyone's heard 20 points in the first half, 80 points in the second half, including overtime, given up by this team. I found it fascinating as Rob Domofsky joined us on Kyle Brust-Nortman locally from 2 to 5 today. He joins us around 3:30 and talked about how You know what's hard for me right now is this whole ball hawk thing. He was like the ball hawk thing's a bunch of crap, you know? Like, two turnovers and no forced fumbles through five games.
The only team worse than them?
The Jets and the Dolphins.
The New York Jets.
Yep. And so is you're in great company there, and this is a team that prided themselves on takeaways last year. And then to make it even
bigger.
They
installed sirens.
I know. There's no sirens. There's no one to be crowned. There's no celebrations because we're not seeing it. One of those was a Hail Mary pick from Xavier McKinney,
sure,
if we're being honest.
At the end of the half.
One thing that he said as well that I found really interesting is what the great Packer teams that he's seen have been able to do from a pass rush standpoint. In any great pass rush that you see, you hear a lot of guys talk about, I'm setting up that move. Like the best pass rushers show up in the second half when they're able to set up their offensive lineman that they're going against for something that they're going to counter later in the game and catch them in a moment where it's, you know, a third and eight, and they're going to make that play. Now, there were some times early in that game that Joe Flacco just did the, holy cow, they're coming fast,
yes,
I'm just going to ground
it
into the running back's feet. But that, like, that's a big thing, because if you're not getting pressure late in the games, it's starting to be like, five pass breakups for for Keyshawn Nixon. Maybe that's because the pressure was there the entire game.
Yeah.
And now when you're looking at not getting consistent pressure late in the second half, that's longer time for players to develop and more time for these cornerbacks to have to guard, you know, in their spots in their zone.
I'm less concerned about the corners. I know they haven't looked particularly great. I think Nate Hobbs hasn't been good. That I can say for sure. I think Carrington Valentine might find himself just in the starting position over him more often because he's been clearly one of the bigger issues. I think Keyshawn Nixon's been mostly fine. I mean, they're back shoulder throwing with Jamar Chase.
I'm not going to call Keyshawn Nixon for the Jamar Chase touchdown. That was an unbelievable
yes
play.
And there was two more plays where he was right there, and Jamar Chase just did Jamar Chase stuff because he's, if not the best, one of the three best wide receivers in all the NFL. The other thing I think that has reared its head a little bit, I don't know how much it's affected the outcomes of games except for the decision by Matt LaFleur to call a pass play against the Browns, which ended up in an interception and then turned into Browns touchdown. He seems to not have a grasp on the guys he has, the team he has, and the situations that would need for him to be aggressive or for him to go more conservative. He did it again last week when they were in a situation to run out the clock and force them to call another timeout, and Jordan Love bailed him out by actually taking a sack. But what are we doing, Matt? Run the ball. Josh Jacobs has looked good. We've been
two games in a row now.
He's been getting he's been getting good chunks of yardage. There was no huge massive breakaways, but I mean, was he averaging like 4.5, 5 yards a carry?
And if he wasn't doing it on the ground, they were utilizing him very well in the pass game.
It's just been confusing to me. He kind of seems like he's just throwing stuff at a wall, and it changes week by week, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think as we get further into the season and the stakes continue to rise, those might come back to really bite the Green Bay Packers.
Well, the good news is the Cardinals have been in a lot of close games, but they're only in close games because they are very average.
Yeah.
Like they're very good at just being in every football game. They have a solid defense. Who knows if Kyler plays? They're on to their fourth running back.
Uh-huh.
James Conner out for the year. Trey Benson on IR. DeMarcado had that fumble, but now is questionable with an injury. So you're on to Bam Knight.
Bam Knight and Michael Carter.
And then you also have Marvin Harrison, concussion protocol.
Yep.
Michael Wilson,
yes.
Greg Dortch, and obviously Trey McBride is their best consistent pass catcher. So there's an opportunity for this defense against a backup quarterback who's a journeyman. Again, make something happen here, you know, and cause a turnover because the opportunities are there for this team.
Yeah, the line says it all. They're nearly a touchdown favorite
on the road
against a team that's not bad, but they're very clearly better than. To me, this is a take care of business, go there, and you know, I don't need style points at this point in the season. I just want a level of confidence in the defensive front and everyone on defense. I think the offense is probably going to continue to improve, especially with the run game working as well as it has and how that's going to influence the pass game as well. I have a question.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
When do you think we're getting Matthew Golden's first touchdown?
Well, have you been betting it all 5 weeks?
I have.
Well, what's annoying to me is Rob Domofsky was awesome because he's the golden guy. Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
He's like, he's done, this is the second time brought up. He's only dropped one pass, and the one pass he dropped was in July, and it was like a questionable if yes. it would be a drop pass. He's caught everything. Uh-huh. He's shifty. He's explosive.
He's in front of the guy who's covering him by like four or five yards with regularity.
And then the conversation goes, well, Tucker Kraft only had two targets. You're going to take away Tucker Kraft's targets? Well, honestly, maybe. I'm fine saying it. I know how important he was and how much they want to use the tight end.
It's very obvious. Romeo Doubs and his always catching the ball in the crowd because he can't separate from anyone. Take away his 9, make it 4, and distribute those between Tucker Kraft and Matthew Golden. I solved our problem.
Hey, well done. He had 9. Romeo had 9 targets. 9.
I want him targeted in the red zone and in third and short, yep. if it makes sense. That's it.
So we're on the same page there. We'll see how it evolves. But it's I wouldn't say, Josh, like, be ready for them to put in a play for Matthew Golden. Like, that's the thing that frustrates me most. Now I'm going to go on a tangent.
When you watch
some of these other teams in the red zone, they find the most creative ways to get the ball to their best playmakers.
Yes.
Like, Jahmyr Gibbs. They don't like they do sometimes on first and goal just run it 4 times, or if they get to fourth and goal from the 5, they run something where it's creative,
something we've never seen, that the guy doesn't really have anyone close,
and they pitch it to the outside and it's like, okay, there's a guy there, but he's faster and he's their playmaker, he's going to get to the edge.
Yes.
Where's that in critical moments? No. I digress.
And Matt LaFleur's response this week and his lack of willingness to budge on, we don't target people specifically, and we don't
throw to the guys who are open.
You should change. Here's an idea. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Make your offense better.
Matthew, like, I hate to say it, but when you watch Emeka Ibuka from the
you,
rookie
you don't,
at Ohio
you don't
State,
think they're putting him in spots for him to be the first read?
And he wasn't in the first 2 weeks,
right?
And then he continued before his injury,
right,
being the focal point.
Yes, because
with Mike Evans, who has 11 straight 1,000-yard seasons on their team,
right? Because talent out, and you throw it to the guys, you put them in the best situation to succeed. Saying that a Matthew Golden target is equal to a Romeo Doubs target is laughable. Saying it for even Dontayvion Wicks, and I'm a number one Dontayvion Wicks stan. To say those things are equal is crazy and an utter waste of our time to say. You're doing something that no one in the NFL does. Are you a Super Bowl champion? Are you like a NFL Hall of Famer? No.
To get there, you got to do something different because we see the results.
Should you maybe take some hints from the rest of these people? Rashee Rice is going to return to the Kansas City Chiefs. You want to know who's going to be targeted like 10 times a game? Rashee Rice. Maybe listen to what that guy's doing, Andy Reid. He's done some good things.
I guess I was fired up, and then you got fired up more. On to game 3. We'll prepare for that and then get to our picks for the weekly wager. I got to testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'm a Texas guy. All right, on the board at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Sportsbook, the Brewers on the money line. Plus 163, the Dodgers minus 195. What do you want to look at, Josh?
What do you mean?
Batter hits? I mean, like, total bases? Doubles? Doubles?
Extra base hits? So there's sort of two ways to go about this. Is it going to carry out and we should hammer the offensive unders? Or is the explosion and the righting of the ship going to happen?
This is where it's hard for me to actually take myself out of it, because right now, if I were to do this, I would probably take a look at the team total runs.
Right.
Or
yes.
Just the over-under and be like, right, okay, I'm looking here at over 8 is plus 106. And, like, I'm talking about for the game,
uh-huh.
not just the Dodgers or the Brewers, but, like, if the Brewers give me four, the Dodgers are going to give me four, too. They just are.
Yeah?
Like, they are. It's just, like, you can't beat the Dodgers without scoring runs in the playoffs. In the regular season, with the way their roster was constructed, with how hurt they were and who mm-hmm. their pitching staffs were. But then I'm like, oh, man, how could I do that after? Like, it'd be foolish to just believe that something's just going to magically happen. But I'm going back to the Pat Murphy-isms in his interview in the middle of the game. He's talking about in baseball, momentum can swing with one pitch. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been waiting for that one pitch, Josh.
I've seen roughly 210 of them, and I felt no more confident that it was going to. Correction. The first pitch yesterday, I thought we were going to have ourselves a night at the ballpark, Benny. I thought it was going to be the pour it on.
It actually set a bad precedent.
It did. Got me excited. And then it was all downhill from there.
I'm saying a bad precedent because we saw the chases on the first pitch that we're not used to.
Yeah, and then he decided, oh, wait, if I just throw them the splitter, they're just going to be lost. And let me tell you, they were lost.
Yeah, that splitter that starts over the middle of the plate and then just...
Is that your ankles?
Has vertical and horizontal yes. movement mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah.
He left a couple up there.
On a couple.
Two pitchers, to the credit, they rarely miss their spots. Snell yes. more than Yamamoto, but both fantastic.
Yeah. If you're making me place a bet on this game, I think I probably just play the underdog in the Brewers.
For sure.
And I try and hope for some offense. The Dodgers are extremely good, but I just can't, for the life of me, think that the Pat Murphy Brewers are just going to roll over and accept their fate.
I'm with you.
I might be a game early.
Be careful. I said this before game two, and I just got
Dodgers
a
receipts.
TikTok from Dodgers Receipts that's got 5,000 likes and
on
all these
ass.
Comments, and they basically said, I said this isn't 2019 or 2020. This is the Pat Murphy 2025 uh-huh. team. And I cited the ESPN LA YouTube channel that I did a show on, the Blue Review.
Uh-huh.
They were telling me Yamamoto's going to go 115 in the complete game. I was like, not with this Pat Murphy-led team. It took Yamamoto.
Did they say that to you?
They said it.
Oh, no.
And I was like, get out of town. They lit up Yamamoto earlier in the year.
I think you need to go into hiding after that.
Dude, it's tough. Completely tough. You're saying what I'm saying.
Yes.
And I believe it.
I just didn't say it and then it be in public. That's the only difference here.
Yeah, you can say it.
I was of the belief, but it wasn't two Dodgers fans. I probably did say it yesterday.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I went on the Dodgers podcast. I was like, that's not going to happen.
You guys don't know what we were talking about.
No, but the funny thing is, I said that here locally, and Dodgers fans
found
that.
Oh, they went looking for it? They said we got ourselves a sucker.
Yeah, we found this guy. Let's feed him the wolves and the algorithm. It's basically old takes exposed on Twitter for TikTok.
I don't believe this is going to end in a sweep, and I think between Game 3 or Game 4, if you can predict which one the Brewers are going to at least take... You are probably going to have an opportunity to win a lot of money betting on the Brewers' offense, betting on them to win the game because they're going to be an underdog in the next two. And then
we'll be an underdog the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Even if Freddie's pitching. I don't care who's out there.
And then bet on just sort of the totals of the game.
Well, I did this, Joshy. I think I bet four of the six games here at Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Uh-huh.
Pre All-Star break and post All-Star break, because anytime they were underdogs, I felt pretty confident about like the team at the time and plus who the Dodgers were, that they were giving too much love to the Dodger name. But the Brewers have to prove it with this plus 165.
Do we feel better about that coming against Glasnow or Shohei? Probably Shohei, because we don't know how long he's going to be able to last in a game or how long they feel comfortable.
Dude, but Shohei, his innings have ramped up, and when he's pitched...
What is his highest do we... I should...
I think he got to six, five or six one time.
Five or six. I'm hooting and hollering if there's not a big deficit to come back from. It's close, and he's out of there in five or
Wahoo!
Six. I'm going, bring me that bullpen for the love of God.
I would probably say Glasnow. I think from a Glasnow standpoint, you got enough lefties that historically have been good against righties, but that's not what we've been seeing in the postseason. So it's hard for me to say Shohei or Glasnow.
You sound defeated.
Dude, the hard part is like, and I know Brewers fans feel this more than anybody because they've been through this many times. But I made a major investment into, like, living and dying every pitch in the regular season to the point where it's, like, now so personal to the fact that, like, I know who this team is and what they're about, and I hate that this is what they are showing to all of baseball because they're just better than this, and it's just – it's saddening.
And this is coming from an immense place of privilege. I understand that. But it – we were so frustrated in the previous years because we can't get out of the wild card. We just keep getting snake bitten. It looked, frankly, a lot like this series has looked. But making the NLCS just feels so... Only making the NLCS feels like such a disappointment on the season. We're one of the four best teams in all of baseball. They had the best record, but we understand how things can get funky there. But... it's not just losing the NLCS that is going to sting, is losing it like it's looked in these two games. And
fair. It's so fair.
And I don't know if it's going to, the offense no-shows for four games and it's a sweep and you move on. Like, is it better than showing a fight, coming back, winning a game or two, and then losing? I don't know. I'm sort of in a trying to figure out where I am and how I feel about this.
I can tell you right now, we're making history. We're on the air and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, but YouTube is down.
The entirety of
the YouTube platform is down. Yes, I'm on Twitter, and I'm seeing everyone saying, everyone rushing to Twitter right now to check if YouTube is down for everyone else, and it is a yes.
Hey, chat, can you hear us?
No, chat, I've gotten text. Chat went quiet. It says unable to chat.
What the heck?
One last note before we get to our picks. I find it fascinating on TikTok.
TikTok.
You know how I mentioned that Dodgers receipts? I just want to mention how ridiculous it is that there's an account called Dodgers receipts. Yeah. I mean, who's doubting the Dodgers? Like, you know, how many people could be doubting the Dodgers?
It is my least favorite part of fan bases where everyone, despite being, like,
No, this is the Travis Kelsey underdog thing at the podium for the
everybody,
Super Bowl.
And it started with athletes, and now it's permeated fan bases, where you all doubted us, and it's like, because Ben Brust in Milwaukee believed in the Brewers, you were doubted? Like, that's not what that means. That's a guy who's talking about his team that he's rooting for and is invested in. Like, did you hear Jeff Passan go on and be like, "Phew, these Dodgers, they stink. These guys ain't anything.
These guys suck."
Alabama was famous for it. Like, Georgia also did it. And it's like, what do you? You guys were handpicked from the time you were in, like, middle school to be these five-star recruits, and then you got 50 more next to you.
One thing I noticed for our picks coming up, we don't have updated records. Will you have that by tomorrow?
I will not, because I couldn't find it, and I was too exhausted. I believe I went 2-3 last week.
Any idea of me?
2 weeks ago. I think
if you went 2-3...
I think you went 3-2.
I would be 3-2.
I believe so. I could do it, but we'll do a recalibration. It's been
a doozy,
I'm not making
guys.
Excuses. Not making excuses. We're very lucky to do what we do. But I've been at work since 5 a.m.
Cool. Picks for the week. We look at the NFL board next. Some great producing from Chris Larson. Josh DiMaggio, 5-14 against the spread. I am 10-9 against the spread. And we got to get right into it, folks. Thursday Night Football. the Icy Hot Bowl. Aaron Rodgers versus Joe Flacco. The Steelers are -5.5 at Cincinnati. Joshy.
This is the one I'm the least convicted on. Part of me thinks probably just pick the better franchise, the better team, the better quarterback. 5.5 feels like a lot. I'm going to go Steelers.
I got the Bengals. I'm going to take the points at home. The Steelers pass rush can be an issue, but it's just one of those, like, the Steelers haven't been overly impressive to me.
No, the record is a lot better than I think they are.
Joe Flacco's more capable than Browning from a passing perspective with those weapons, so that's my hope.
The thing is, Joe Flacco, you might not know this if you're a Packers fan, he's been turning the ball over a lot. He's just not doing it against the Packers.
That's true.
That's sort of the advantage I feel like for the Steelers. And Aaron Rodgers is the exact, even though his interception numbers have increased, I just don't see that defense posing much of a threat.
Eagles -2 at the Vikings Sunday noon.
This game's got weird vibes.
This game sucks.
Weird vibes. I don't like it. I can make a really good case that the Eagles just show up, take care of business, and say, hey, let's cut the crap. Or it continues to get worse and we're
like it did 2 years ago.
Yes. I don't even know who's starting for the Vikings, which makes it increasingly...
Isn't Carson Wentz injured?
Yes, but so is J.J. McCarthy, potentially, but they're both practicing in a limited fashion, and they're splitting up.
Gotta be quick.
Eagles.
Yeah, I got the Eagles as well.
Yeah.
Packers -6.5 at Arizona, 325.
I'm going Packers.
They've been average against the spread.
And they've been cutting it close when it doesn't need to be close in those cases. Yes, I totally agree.
Dude, I've watched enough Cardinals. I think the Packers are just so much better across the board. Packers -6.5. Atlanta +2.5 at San Francisco on Sunday Night Football. The Falcons have been sneaky good, but the Niners have been sneaky good too from an even better record standpoint.
I like the Niners.
I only like the Falcons at home. I like the Niners, too.
Mm-hmm.
I will lay that 2.5 at home on Sunday night. Buccaneers +5.5 at the Detroit Lions.
I love the Lions. I like even the number. This number opened at 4.5. I think the Buccaneers come crashing down to earth. They're number one in the power rankings on ESPN. Good team. Not one of the best teams.
Mike Evans, Godwin, Abuka hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Bucky Irving hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can keep up a whole 60 minutes with the Lions, so I'm going to go the Lions as well. So the only ones we have different are the Bengals. Is that it? Because we both have the Eagles.
Yeah.
We both have the Packers. We both have the Niners, and we both have the Lions.
That's
a good thing for you, because I'm 10-9,
yes.
And you're 4-15.
If I go 4-1 here, and your record improves, that I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about me in this situation.
You just got to like scratch and claw, yes. Like for pride at this point.
Yes, this is a me thing. Yes. This isn't a competition thing.
Oh man! Well, game three is tomorrow night, or excuse me, it's tomorrow evening. You can say evening.
Afternoon.
Late evening, or early evening.
Is 4 p.m. the afternoon or the evening?
It's 5:08.
Oh, 5 p.m.? Yeah,
that's correct. That's evening.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's first pitch. For Josh DiMaggio and Ben Bruss, we look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. Hopefully that means we're talking to you after a Game 6 or Game 7 victory from the Brewers. You have Game 3, ALCS, Tigers-Mariners up next here on 94.5 ESPN.